your heart's desire to know him more, to be found in him, to be known by him, you may be seated. That is our heart's desire today. That's a beautiful prayer in that song. It's an older song, but man, I'll tell you what, it speaks to the heart of the worshiper, doesn't it? Truly, truly does. Well, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one under the seat back in front of you, either a Bible or a hymnal. I'd suggest you use the Bible. You'll find it better there. Philippians chapter 2. It's in the New Testament. Third one of the epistles, the letters of Paul to the churches, to the people of Philippi. If you have your faith journals, open that up. Be prepared for God to speak to you, because God speaks to us, doesn't he? Through his word, through his spirit. If we have a heart that's listening, the Spirit of God speaks. So we're in a series called Life Joy, just seeking to find that deeper sense, something beyond happiness, that life joy that is available to us as believers. And it comes, we've found that joy is a part of relationship. And apart from relationship, we don't truly find and have joy. It's just not there. So we're seeking to be joyful in our relationship with God, with one another, and with others outside of the body of Christ. We started last week with remaining relational. Relationships are a deep part of that. We talked about keeping our relational circuits turned on or paying attention to whether or not they're on. Somebody just turn off the lights there for a second. You know what? Yeah, just shut them. Even the whole thing. Now, I can see faces. I can see people. I can't necessarily see what's on your faces. It's kind of a little bit more in gray. I don't see all the colors so well because light is what brings out color. Without light, everything fades to gray, doesn't it? That's kind of what it's like when we're in our left brain, logical task side of things. We're just looking at what I got to get done and who I'm with and what I'm doing and what are they doing and how am I going to respond. Relational, the relational right side, where our identity is, who we are, who the people are around us. Are we paying attention to the faces? When we flip on our relational circuits, go ahead and turn it on. Now I begin to see you. Now I begin to see faces. Now I begin to see smiles like Chris is smiling at me. I begin to see what's happening. If I am willing to flip the switch and turn on my relational circuits and say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention more than to just what's happening, but I'm going to start paying attention to who's here and what's happening. Remaining relational. We talked about kindness. These are the things that flip our relational switches on. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to be compassionate. Look and see what's happening in somebody's life. I'm going to have a humility and a gentleness with other people's faults and other people's shortcomings and weaknesses. I'm going to try to be a person that is a protector of the weak, not a predator for the weak that I can use. We're going to be forgiving and have that agape, that hesed, I will love you no matter what kind of love. Those are the things that keep our relational switches turned on. And those are the things that bring a life joy. Today we're talking about another skill, and these are skills. These are things that, thank the Lord, it's not something that, you know what, if you weren't born with it, too bad for you. Looks like you live a joyless existence. That would be pretty sad, wouldn't it? These are things that we can learn to bring joy as a part of our lives. And today, I'll tell you, I'm using these things. As I learn them, I'm learning how to act like myself. What does that mean? Acting like yourself. Being who you were recreated by God to be. And we're going to learn how to use this skill through both the good times and the bad times, right? So let's stand together as we prepare for the Word of God. Let's read what he has for us today. Therefore, if any of you have... let's start over. I'm having a morning today. I'm going to read this right. Ready? Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Lord, teach us this truth today from your word. Let us translate it into a skill that becomes just who we are, our second nature. Speak, Holy Spirit. Let your word speak deeply to us. And Lord, help me not to get in the way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I was saying, this series is something God's been speaking to me about for actually a number of months already. And it's really going pretty deep into how I'm trying to live my life and who I'm wanting to become. And it's just, these are skills that I'm learning how to use. We'll have a few more. We've started with remaining relational. Today we're talking about acting like ourselves. Next week will be how to return to joy from difficulty. How do I get back to that place of joy? And the week after that, how to endure hardship well. How to endure hardship well. Now, that all spells out rare, right? Joy isn't supposed to be rare, is it? It is often a rare thing for us. We're called to be a people of peace, a people of strength, of joy, of hope, of courage. But Jesus said, I came to give you what? Life. And what kind of life? More abundant life. That's what he came to give. And sometimes Christians, unfortunately, are sometimes seen as kind of cliquish, and we just have our own little huddle, or we're judgmental, or we're cranky. That's not how we're supposed to be. Norma, how are we supposed to be? Happy, of all people. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, of all people, right? Of all people in this world, we should be the most joyful because we have Christ in us. How is your joy? How is your joy? How would others describe you? Would they describe you as joyful? Do you smile often? Do you laugh with others often? Do you share joy? What joy? When it's with other people, it's, I'm so glad to be with you. That's what joy is. When we come together in joy, we are saying, I'm glad to be with you today. And my face actually shows it, right? I'm glad to be with you today. We don't want to just, it's not a mask. Do you ever know somebody that's just genuinely, they are who they are, whether that's a joyful or a peaceful or just a happy person or a generous person? You just know that's who they are. And it's not a mask that they're trying to live out. It's just who they are. Do you ever know somebody like that? You know when you know that somebody is truly that way, that they're living this out, what's really inside? You watch them, what? In the midst of trials. Yeah, that's when our true colors sometimes come out, don't they? When things get hard, what comes out? That's when we really see what's at the core of who we are. And when you see somebody that is the same, they act like themselves, no matter how difficult things are. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, and everybody's going to have tough days. I'm not saying that. But that is a person that's learned this life joy skill. They will behave, they'll act, they'll live like who they are, no matter what's going on in the world around them. So, how does this give us joy? How do you act like yourself? The only way you can act like yourself is to know who you are. If you don't know who you are or who you were created in Christ to be, how will you ever act like yourself? You'll act like, maybe what we'll act like is how we used to be before we came to faith in Christ. How many people have done that? Yeah, I'm supposed to be this, but you know what? I keep falling back to the way I used to be before I came to faith in Christ. Know who you are, first of all. Who am I? Well, this verse started off with, if you have any encouragement of being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, any common sharing of the Spirit of God in you, if there's any tenderness and compassion, we start with knowing I am beloved of God. I am loved by God. First and foremost, that's the first thing we need to understand about ourselves, that I am God's treasured, beloved creation. He loves me, and he loves you deeply. We're created by God in his image for a relationship with him. And so acting like myself would be, I was created for a relationship with him, so I'm going to be in a close relationship with him. That's just being who I am, someone created to be in a close walk with Jesus. Remain relational, that's our first skill, right? Who am I? I'm a follower of his son, Jesus. Because of my faith in him, I call myself, you can call yourself a Christian, call yourself a believer. I really like the whole idea of saying, I'm a follower of Christ. That gets down into the nitty-gritty of my everyday, doesn't it? It's not just a head knowledge, I'm a believer. No, I'm a follower. I'm living it out in the day-to-day. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a follower, as Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified. Somehow or other, I was united with Christ on that cross, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's no longer me living. It's him living in me and through me. The life I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me. Wow, there's that beloved again. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I live. How do I act like myself? By acting like Jesus, because he's the one I'm following. He lived his life in love. He lived his life with purpose, as a servant to those that were around him, with humility and with great courage and strength. That's who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to be like him. And it says, a common sharing in his Spirit. As a believer, I have been filled with the Spirit. The Spirit indwells me. The Spirit of God, God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, somehow he's living right here. That blows me away. Does that blow you away? I mean, he's bigger than the universe, and he's chosen to take residence in me. But that's what he did. So, you know what? I'm going to act like a person who has the almighty, all-loving, all-powerful Spirit of God dwelling in me, walking with me. You know, we love Star Wars, and we love, you know, we're big Lord of the Rings fans and wizards and all that Some people are Harry Potter fans. I never got into that. We think we're excited about this, you know, and then you know, the superhero movies. Wouldn't it be great to have superhero powers? Do you get where I'm going with this? As a believer, you have God Almighty living inside of you. Why would you want to try to live this out through a movie for 2.5 hours when this is your everyday life, believer? This is who you are. Live like it. The power of God walks with you, dwells with you. He's promised to guide you into truth and give you wisdom. You don't have to live out your life on the screen. This is your everyday life. God in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a beautiful thing. So acting like myself, instead of living in fantasy land, I'm going to live it out every day. Make it your reality. God is in you. Live as if he's in you. That's a powerful thing. So I got to know who I am to live like myself. Now, the next thing is there's an identity. We need to go to the next slide. Identity gives us joy, knowing who we are. What do we act like? This is the me that it speaks of. It says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded together, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." Let's be a like-minded people, knowing who we are. When I say I'm a Christian, or I'm supposed to be talked about that, my personal identity. When I say, "Oh, I go to Warren Community Church," what does that mean to you? What does that mean? Anything? For me, there is a group of people here who love God and want to serve our community and love each other. That's the people that I'm a part of. And we as having the Spirit of God living in us, have the fruits of the Spirit of God available to us, don't we? Did you learn this as a child? I didn't. My children did, because I came to faith later in life as a 25-year-old or so. There was a song, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit of God." How many people have heard that one? Very few. Hey, that's a great one for the kids to learn, right? That's who we are. The skill of acting like yourself, particularly in the midst of trials, is just knowing that this is who I am. I am a person filled with the Spirit of God. And you simply remember that and live it. Well, it can't be that simple. I like simple. I don't know about any of you people. Don't make it complicated. Jesus didn't. He just said, "You know what? Here are the things. Here's the fruits that is available to you." So when somebody at work starts to gossip, you know what? This is not who I am. I'm either going to say, "I don't know that we should be talking about that person that way." Or you say, "Excuse me," and you step away. Because that's not who I am. So when your wife is irritable, snaps at you, and you want to snap back, you know what? You say, "You know what? I have the fruit of patience in my life. It's not who I am to just give this for that. That's not who I am. I'm a person that has been given patience, and I've been given grace, so I'll be a giver of grace. That's who I am." When your husband forgets something, again, husbands never forget things, do they? rather than riding him, expecting perfection, or just say, "You know what? I remember who I am. I'm a person of gentleness. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to remind, and I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to bless." We think about, who am I? And act like myself. That's when we say, I know who I am, I know who God created me to be, recreated me to be as a new believer. And when you continue to do that, that second skill of acting like myself, as well as keeping the relationship bigger than the problem, right? Relationships are bigger than the problem. You start doing that, and those start to become second nature to you, then you begin to find that life joy in your life. Now, did you notice that these verses are very community-oriented? They're very community-oriented. Be like-minded, right? That's talking about all of the Philippian people. He goes on to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It's not about you. It's not about the one person. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests only, but each of you to the interests of others also. Yeah, be community-minded. I'm not here for me, okay? That's what's saying, not the selfish ambition. We're not doing this for vanity's sake. It's not, I'm smart, so I get to be up here and preach, or I get to teach the class, and you all just get to come and listen to me pontificate about deep and wonderful things. We don't do that, right? We're here for the blessing of others. We're not here because, you know, we're popular and everybody likes me. We're not here because I'm in charge of this, and this is my sandbox over here, and nobody can mess around in my sandbox. That's not why we're here. It says we're not here for selfish ambition or vanity. It's about me. It says, rather in humility, consider others. During this Memorial Day, I think about soldiers. We've heard a couple of stories from my daughter's boyfriend. He was in the military. Makes me think about the things that they go through in basic training. And I mean, when they go in, they come out as one person. When they come out, the goal is that they come out as a unit, as a team that can look to the guy next to them and know that they're going to give their all for me, just like I'm going to give my all for them. They have to, because when it comes to a life or death situation in a battle, they got to know that their buddies got their back. They have to know that. They can't be doubting. So there's a camaraderie, a trust that comes out of that. That training teaches them to learn how that you've got people counting on you. I remember him telling me stuff that, you know, if one person failed, guess what? Everybody failed and everybody had to do it again. So it wasn't just a matter of getting mad at the person that caused you to fail. It's, how can I help this person so that we can all succeed? That's the kind of stuff that they learn. They keep an eye on each other, right? No soldier left behind, right? No one left behind. They act like who they were trained to be. When it comes down to it, they know exactly how they're supposed to act. That's us. It's a bit of the picture as we serve our King Jesus together. It's a bit of a picture of how we look at each other. No one expects perfection because nobody can be perfect. But I am there for you, giving my 100%. You are there for me, and we're all here for each other, giving 100%. Everybody doing it uniquely, because nobody's the same. We're all different. But in humility, we look at each other as value them as more important than ourselves. That's that identity. This is the belonging that happens when we look at each other and we say, I'm glad that we're here together, because I know you got my back and I'm going to do my best to have your back. These are my people. These are my people. This is my home. And we find that identity, that belonging, that when we come here, we're like, I know these people are my family. And we find joy in being together. And so we work together, we serve, We're in the fight, the battle for the kingdom as we try to reach our community, and we learn how to love those that are right around us. Acting like the body of Christ is supposed to act. A family of love, a family, a group of people on mission for our King. Sitting on the sidelines, that's not who you are. That's not who God created you to be. Showing up on Sundays only, that's not who God created you to be. That's not who you are. God has a place for you to come and be a part of this church, this body's ministry to this community. Faithfully serving in a ministry that God has led you to, whatever that might be, that's who you are. God led you there. He wired you. He put you, gave you gifts and says, that's who I wired you to be. You're acting like yourself. Making problems more important than the relationship. That's not who God created you to be. That's not who you are. The relationship, most important. And together, through relationship, we figure out our problem, right? Always in that order. Caring about the people in your community, not just the people that we see every Sunday, but there's people in houses all around us, driving by constantly. I care about them. That's who we are. We're acting like ourselves when we care. You know, I've had this time with my mom and dad. They've gone through a rough time. I'm not the only one. People that are going through challenges like that, but I have had just constant offers of concern, prayer, help. Can I do anything? Can we bring you meals? That's the church acting like themselves, acting like the church, being just what they're supposed to be. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, being a pastor is just different. Jillian is going to start in the fall for ministry school to become a pastor. You find it out after the fact. You can't ever know what it's like to be a pastor until you become a pastor. It's just a different animal. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I guess it sounded like that, didn't it? But it's not. And it's not just a job, it's not just a paycheck, it's something that God has called me to, but sometimes it can be hard as a pastor because you minister to way more people than you see here on Sunday morning. And you can pour into people and see God work in their lives and then never see him again. And that happens more often than a lot of people realize. And so you pour yourself and you invest in yourself relationally. You want to care about people. And then they say, okay, great. And then they disappear, and maybe they go to a different church, which is fine. Or they just kind of disappear off the map. And that can cause, if a pastor's not careful, a tendency to say, I'm going to guard my heart. Because I'm just going to only give so much of myself. And that's not good. And pastors have to remember that we have to continue to run the risk of caring, of loving people. Even when, and it happens to you as well, you care for people, you minister to people, and you help them through a rough time, and then they disappear from your life. And that's, we all have to make the choice to say, I'm going to love, but this church has been here and have been so supportive of Terry and I. And what a blessing to know that it's not just people that come and go out of your life, that you have been a people that have been there for us and have cared about us and have supported us. Gosh, I can't tell you what that means. And it encourages us to be able to know that we can go beyond guarded loving and be truly, this is my family. These are my people. You know, the people at Calvary, the church I used to be at, they're still my people. They're still my family. They're still my brothers and sisters. My family grows as God has led us to different churches, and this is my family. And that's a beautiful thing. So when the church has been doing that for us, they're acting like themselves. They're behaving like the church because that's who you are. You've been caring about me and Terry. And I want to say thank you. Truly, thank you. So as we think about today and Memorial Day, the ones that have given their lives for us as a country, we think about the one who gave his life for us as people, Jesus. And we think about the people that he gave us as a community and as a family. And I want to just let you take a moment. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, take some time to say, Lord, I want to listen. I want to hear from you. What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me about how I can more act like myself, act like who you created me to be? How I can become more like someone who you love deeply? How I can become more like a follower of Jesus in my home, in my workplace, in my neighborhood? How I can become, live more like someone who is filled with the power of Almighty God? God, what do you need to change in me so that I can live my life like I am? How, God, can I become more a part of these people and look at them as my people? This is where I belong, and I want to treat people like they belong to me. Arms locked, watching out for each other, God, having each other's back. Take some time to just be quiet and let the Spirit of God maybe put his finger on a thing or two that he wants to use to bring a deeper sense of life joy into your life as you not only stay relational with people, but just begin to turn our hearts towards you and say, I want to live the way that you designed me to live and created me to live. I'm just going to let the Spirit of God spend some time with you and be quiet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that the joy is not in the decision so much as it is in the living of the decision. So thank you, Lord, for how you're going to begin to more and more, as you have been doing in my life, raise our life joy levels, raise our ability to live in these new skills that you're teaching us, and how to just keep our relational switches on and just be in relationship with you and with others and more just to live like you have designed us, created us, and empowered us to be. Thank you for the blessing that is going to come this week as we put this a part of our hearts and our minds day to day, activity to activity. Thank you, Lord, for how you're going to do that. Blessings on us this week as we go. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen.